But I want to answer her question succinctly, bluntly, without dancing around on the pinhead. I have a pinhead, but I don't dance on it. The Philippine Islands are blessed indeed. They are my home, and they are your home. And back unto that place is the desire for all of us to go as we journey back into the universe. And as unlikely as it may seem, it is no more unlikely than why you? How many of you sit and do this every day? Well, why me? Well, why not? As a matter of fact, in the Philippine Islands, having been left alone, it was a garden. One could survive, and hot dogs, one knew where those caves were. And the early inhabitants, or the later inhabitants, you see, you don't know how to sequence time. But let us say those early ones left had access to those places within the mountains, within the sea, within those cities. And the technologies that were left there. Because there was no way, no purpose, no point in utilizing them. And once forgot how to use them. Because when the bird men stopped coming to and from, the memories faded and you had nothing to do with them. You could not take off for the stars. You were bound to the place. And you would be binded to the place until the great cycle would come again. And there would be an opportunity for leaving the place. Or remaining, there will be, you think today you're faced with choices, nothing like you're going to be. You're going to have to make some decisions where you're going to spend some period of this existence of yours in the sequence, and what are you willing to do? All of you have made your transitions many times, some of you within this very experience. You would not be in this room even staying long enough to listen to me if you had not made at least one experimental journey to what you will call the other side. You would be watching your television and waiting for the next physical episode to hit. But you know that something else is afoot. And that's why you search in these places. And it's why this is partially why ones will go to the churches now. Mostly it's terror, and if we hadn't strayed quite so far away from God, we wouldn't be having this trouble. So I will go back and I will pray today. But it isn't the same thing that you're feeling. And none of you in here are pious. And I'm glad. I would kick you out. Some of you really try from time to time to be very pious. That is a facade. You are ones with a job to do, and I want to tell you something. When I'm ready to have a job done, and especially if it is my being that's at stake, I don't want someone pious out there doing this. I want somebody who knows what they're doing and do it. So you're having to overcome this density of this planet. And you're having to come back into your remembering. And you know that you're a leader. You can't get away from it, no matter how many times you cast it aside and say, well, no, it's not me. It does keep coming back to you. And you know that at some point you will understand and you will be able to utilize that. And you will do it properly. That you will know. And it's your impatience. And it is your fear. I said fear. This is an honorable term that I'm using right now. It is your fear that you're missing something. I didn't say missing out on something. I said just missing something. This is what I hear from my group. Am I missing something, Father? Please tell me, am I missing something? What more can I do? I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss the clue. I don't want to miss the instruction. I don't want to miss hearing. And when we speak of hearing, you must, all of you, go within and listen to your head. Because you are under such pressure that I'm sure everyone in this room from time to time is feeling like your head is going to just explode. It's like your brain is swept. The grid system is up, connected, and active, and has been since New Year's Day. Don't think for 1 minute that the bombardment into these city ghettos isn't incredible. And under these kinds of pressures, man breaks. And that's exactly what the adversary plans to have happen. Don't break. Don't give them that advantage. Recognize what it is for what it is and rise above it. You are all now of the frequency material that will allow you to do that. This doesn't mean that from time to time you won't be in the depths of depression, because you have to face the same problems, trials, and maybe intensified as everybody else on this planet. You're not given the privilege of walking as a god amongst men. That's not your purpose. Yours is to walk as men among men, women among women. Yours is not at this point to be greater than. And this was the master's problem. He was stuck being human. And this is why you want me to show up. It isn't that you don't know I'm here. You want to clutch to that invisibleness. You want to again relate to that. And that's not your job. That's mine. I've got to get you to where you can see me. I don't want to get me to where I'm trapped with you. Man must be pulled upward into the light, not drag the lighted portions down into the darkness with man. That's what we're about. And it is a glorious, glorious journey. And you ones are fine. You're going to make it just fine. Did I answer your question well enough, precious?
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a subject I can preach on? I love this.
Back to your reference on the Philippines or that area. I have read a story that is supposed to be untrue. Fantasy? restrictions?
Well, you better get concerned about it if that's what they tell you.
But it has enough essence to it to tell me there is more behind it than just fiction. It is a story written in the 1920s, and the location, it was a couple of scientists went to this island that is northwest of Australia. Now, I can't call the island because I only know English, and this was a foreign language to me on the island. But there's supposed to be ancient temples there with huge walls around the island. And there are buildings. One was TAU, which I believe is pronounced Dao. The native people were scared of this area. While this man and his wife, they were supposedly, he was a scientist, and they were checking out this area. When a certain time of the year, they were there when the moon is full, it shone somehow on this ancient door of this huge building that was cut so it fit perfectly. And the moon opened this door, and they went in, and there was depths down below that opened into this giant pool with a lip around it. And there was a crystal over top of this pool. And when the moon hit the crystal from above, there was seven crystals, and this rainbow of light came down through the crystals and shone this rainbow into the crystal pool, and it began to move from the bottom up. Now, this is not science fiction. This is spiritual. Would you please enlighten me on this? No.
No, these are very meaningful to each one as you find these stories. I do not spend my time reading all of the material that is produced for you. I can tell you that places such as that exist, and just as you would have 6 billion people on your planet, I have billions and billions to deal with. And I don't go around prying into everyone's business. When each of you ask me something, I have to literally go, stop what I'm doing, and look it up. And sometimes it is not feasible. It just isn't. It isn't appropriate for what we're doing. I like to think of it as appropriate for a long winter evening by the fireplace. And yet, by the time we get there, you're not going to need me. So I have mixed feelings about it. Just know that everything that is possible, that old thing about what you can conceive can be, is basic truth. But once again, you have to move outside of this reality that you think you have in this physical consciousness. Because when you move into the higher knowingness, you realize that all of these things that you have experienced or been presented to you do exist. Because they have been manifest, either by you or by you in conjunction with another creator. And it is when you have grown into the ability to create only that which is goodness, or control that which is adversary to that goodness, is when you have achieved your rightfulness to be one with God and Creator. And so again, we deal with one such as Sananda. What do you do with the Christ? What does that mean? It means that that one is very near to the end of the journey, where he makes his own choices regarding his divinity or his divine right of creation. All wisdom, all knowledge, all truth in the world. And whatever is created by this Creator in an adversarial position of physicalness, because remember, only in the physical manifestation do you have evil. It is conjured and manufactured by that which is conscious man. Creation is not evil. You can teach an animal to be bad, but you cannot teach him to be evil. That is a rite of passage of man. And the point is to come out of evilness back into godness. That is the point of your journey, if nothing else, that learning. Well, you have, at the times that planets are making their evolutions, you will have ones in the Christed state who would become Creator, or one with Creator. And therefore, it ends up that their final lessons, their final growth, is made as the final decisions are made for a given experience. And as this young Christ that has experienced, and I call him young because anything younger than me is young, grows in wisdom enough to create pure balance and pure harmony, pure truth and pure light, he has, quote, graduated. And he will do creation. And it is not faulty creation that allows evil. That is a God of creation allowing man free will choices for this experience so that he can grow into the wisdom of that which brings balance. So always balance and harmony in love is the end goal. And you can see that these places of experience get in pretty bad shape as man makes his wrong decisions. But the evolution will always come when man will get so bad, so evil, that there's only one way to go. And because of that innate God light of which he is created, he will get his belly full and he will begin his journey back. God will inhale. Well, what about all those who don't? Well, in this processing, you manufacture ones that are basically soulless beings, you create an evil. And I use the term create to mean manufacture. You utilize what is deteriorated, debased, and you recreate from it. And it's an incestuous relationship, and it becomes genetically and diabolically incorrect. And the results of what you manifest as man must periodically be cleansed. And man himself will do his own sorting. And is that right or wrong? It's only right. It can only be right. And when you witness, and you can witness in compassion and in love, then any experience will have been worthy of itself. And each of you will try to cling to the tiny fragment, because each of you will say, we've got to fix it. John Schreffer will say, let's take it to the council and let's do something. And I'm all for it. And I say, go ahead, I tried. And the wise old counselors will say, go give her another go. There's another alternative in man's evolution, because what you're trying to do, John Schreffer, is do it for them. And that's a no-no. And bless his heart, he'll go get some more wheat. If we can't train them, then we'll have to feed them. And I'm grateful. And I hear you. I hear you clutching. I hear you crying out, please. Show me how and I will do it. And I'm trying. And you will. I am telling you how, and you are hearing me, and you will do it. Because we're going to walk this one together. And it doesn't matter whether you're here or in Corpus Christi, Texas, or Oregon, Washington, Idaho. We're together. We're as close. This is something else about the bird tribes. You are not rooted anywhere on this planet. And that means that you haven't yet located your home on this planet even. You can leave any place, because you've recognized that that is not going to be an allowed thing for you to become so attached to a given thing or place. And that's when the wisdom of the saying, give your children roots, but give them wings and teach them to fly and let them go. They don't belong really to you. And if they come back, that's very worthy. That's a great honor, because you have done well. And if they don't come back, then they weren't yours anyway. And they had their way to go. And you must release it. And you have been given the privilege of utilizing this place again. Some of you will go to the Philippines, and that will be home. And some of you will know the minute you set foot on the island, this was home. The same will happen to you when you go to Greece, when you stand in Crete. I'm home. I don't need to walk up to that Acropolis. I've been up there so many times and I didn't like it then. Why should I trudge up there and make my feet hurt? I remember it. And you will be homesick for something you can't even put your fingers on. You want to come home. You want to come home. Well, I have a crew that would like to go home. And I can love you, and I can be patient with you, because you're my ground crew. In many ways, your experience is easier than theirs, but the journey itself is harder than theirs. But they must watch, and they experience in longer periods of time, so that it seems infinity that you ones don't learn. And there's a rotation, and some come back and they say, they're still there. And then we have our little meetings and we go through very much this same thing. And that's what you're lonely for. You get lonely just to hold a friend. I found myself chuckling at Dorma. One day she was sitting alone in the bedroom, and Oberle came in and she says, "I don't understand it. I don't even know Bo Greitz, but I'm lonely just to hold him." You ones don't know your brothers. And you've each shared so many experiences. And when you see ones being put upon, especially your brothers, you can't understand it, you can't do anything about it, but something inside you is lonely. And I wouldn't have you any other way, because this is the God part of you that is alive, that can reach across a city, reach across a nation, reach across an ocean. And you don't understand race riots, because in your hearts you don't have any race. You're just the bird tribes. And you're eager to get on with that which was pure and wonderful. And man seems very slow in his evolvement. But remember that to your guides you seem very slow in yours. And if you can hold to that knowledge, that truth, then it'll make your journey a little easier. Where are we on that tape? I think we should close.
We're very near the end of the third tape. About 5 minutes.
Oh, you can do it?
Roll that one out. We got this tall chair so I could be the biggest one in the room.
Tall chair is a big help.
Thank you. We'll get that sound system working too. You are cherished. I shouldn't tell you. The room is filled. I wish that you could put on those glasses that see through and beyond. Your brothers all come for the lessons, come for the sharing. Appreciate your guides, love them, and listen to them. Please listen to them, because this is a delightful journey. This is where we make our brownie points and earn our wings. Salut.
Thank you very much.
But I want to answer her question succinctly, bluntly, without dancing around on the pinhead. I have a pinhead, but I don't dance on it. The Philippine Islands are blessed indeed. They are my home, and they are your home. And back unto that place is the desire for all of us to go as we journey back into the universe. And as unlikely as it may seem, it is no more unlikely than why you? How many of you sit and do this every day? Well, why me? Well, why not? As a matter of fact, in the Philippine Islands, having been left alone, it was a garden. One could survive and hot dogs once knew where those caves were. And the early inhabitants or the later inhabitants, you see, you don't know how to sequence time. But let us say those early ones left had access to those places within the mountains, within the sea, within those cities. And the technologies that were left there. Because there was no way, no purpose, no point in utilizing them. And ones forgot how to use them. Because when the bird men stopped coming to and from, the memories faded and you had nothing to do with them. You could not take off for the stars. You were bound to the place. And you would be binded to the place until the great cycle would come again. And there would be an opportunity for leaving the place. Or remaining, there will be, you think today you're faced with choices, nothing like you're going to be. You're going to have to make some decisions where you're going to spend some period of this existence of yours in this sequence, and what are you willing to do? All of you have made your transitions many times. Some of you within this very experience. You would not be in this room even staying long enough to listen to me if you had not made at least one experimental journey to what you would call the other side. You would be watching your television and waiting for the next physical episode to hit. But you know that something else is afoot. And that's why you search in these places. And it's why this is partially why ones will go to the churches now. Mostly it's terror, and if we hadn't strayed quite so far away from God, we wouldn't be having this trouble. So I will go back and I'll pray today. But it isn't the same thing that you're feeling. And none of you in here are pious. And I'm glad. I would kick you out. Some of you really try from time to time to be very pious. That is a facade. You are ones with a job to do, and I want to tell you something. When I'm ready to have a job done, and especially if it is my being that's at stake, I don't want someone pious out there doing this. I want somebody who knows what they're doing and do it. So you're having to overcome this density of this planet. And you're having to come back into your remembering. And you know that you're a leader. You can't get away from it, no matter how many times you cast it aside and say, well, no, it's not me. It does keep coming back to you. And you know that at some point you will understand and you will be able to utilize that. And you will do it properly. That you will know. And it's your impatience. And it is your fear. I said fear. This is an honorable term that I'm using right now. It is your fear that you're missing something. I didn't say missing out on something. I said just missing something. This is what I hear from my group. Am I missing something, Father? Please tell me, am I missing something? What more can I do? I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss the clue. I don't want to miss the instruction. I don't want to miss hearing. And when we speak of hearing, you must, all of you, go within and listen to your head. Because you are under such pressure that I'm sure everyone in this room from time to time is feeling like your head is going to just explode. It's like your brain is swelled. The grid system is up, connected, and active, and has been since New Year's Day. Don't think for 1 minute that the bombardment into these city ghettos isn't incredible. And under these kinds of pressures, man breaks. And that's exactly what the adversary plans to have happen. Don't break. Don't give them that advantage. Recognize what it is for what it is and rise above it. You are all now of the frequency material that will allow you to do that. This doesn't mean that from time to time you won't be in the depths of depression, because you have to face the same problems, trials, and maybe intensified as everybody else on this planet. You're not given the privilege of walking as a god amongst men. That's not your purpose. Yours is to walk as men among men, women among women. Yours is not at this point to be greater than. And this was the master's problem. He was stuck being human. And this is why you want me to show up. It isn't that you don't know I'm here. You want to clutch to that invisibleness. You want to again relate to that. And that's not your job. That's mine. I've got to get you to where you can see me. I don't want to get me to where I'm trapped with you. Man must be pulled upward into the light, not drag the lighted portions down into the darkness with man. That's what we're about. And it is a glorious, glorious journey. And you ones are fine. You're going to make it just fine. Did I answer your question well enough, Precious?
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a subject I can preach on?
Yes.
I love this.
Back to your reference on the Philippines or that area. I have read a story that is supposed to be untrue. Fantasy? Fiction?
Well, you better get concerned about it if that's what they tell you.
But it has enough essence to it to tell me there is more behind it than just fiction. It is a story written in the 1920s, and the location, it was a couple scientists went to this island that is northwest of Australia. Now, I can't call the island because I only know English, and this was a foreign language to me on the island. But there's supposed to be ancient temples there with huge walls around the island. And there are buildings. One was TAU, which I believe is pronounced Dao. The native people were scared of this area. While this man and his wife, they were supposedly and he was a scientist, and they were checking out this area. When a certain time of the year, they were there when the moon is full, it shone somehow on this ancient door of this huge building that was cut so it fit perfectly, and the moon opened this door, and they went in, and there was depths down below that opened into this giant pool with the lip around it. And there was a crystal over top of this pool. And when the moon hit the crystal from above, there were seven crystals, and this rainbow of light came down through the crystals and shone this rainbow into the crystal pool. And it began to move from the bottom up. Now, this is not science fiction. This is spiritual. Would you please enlighten me on this? No.
No. These are very meaningful to each one as you find these stories. I do not spend my time reading all of the material that is produced for you. I can tell you that places such as that exist. And just as you would have 6 billion people on your planet, I have billions and billions to deal with. And I don't go around prying into everyone's business. When each of you ask me something, I have to literally go, stop what I'm doing, and look it up. And sometimes it is not feasible. It just isn't. It isn't appropriate for what we're doing. I like to think of it as appropriate for a long winter evening by the fireplace. And yet, by the time we get there, you're not going to need me. So I have mixed feelings about it. Just know that everything that is possible, that old thing about what you can conceive can be, is basic truth. But once again, you have to move outside of this reality that you think you have in this physical consciousness, because when you move into the higher knowingness, you realize that all of these things that you have experienced or been presented to you do exist, because they have been manifest either by you or by you in conjunction with another creator. And it is when you have grown into the ability to create only that which is goodness, or control that which is adversary to that goodness, is when you have achieved your rightfulness to be one with God and Creator. And so again, we deal with one such as Sananda. What do you do with the Christ? What does that mean? It means that that one is very near to the end of the journey, where he makes his own choices regarding his divinity or his divine right of creation. All wisdom, all knowledge, all truth in the world. And whatever is created by this creator in an adversarial position of physicalness, because remember, only in the physical manifestation do you have evil. It is conjured and manufactured by that which is conscious man. Creation is not evil. You can teach an animal to be bad, but you cannot teach him to be evil. That is a rite of passage of man. And the point is to come out of evilness back into godness. That is the point of your journey, if nothing else, that learning. Well, you have, at the times that planets are making their evolutions, you will have ones in the Christed state who would become creator, or one with creator. And therefore, it ends up that their final lessons, their final growth, is made as the final decisions are made for a given experience. And as this young Christ that has experienced, and I call him young because anything younger than me is young, grows in wisdom enough to create pure balance and pure harmony, pure truth and pure light, he has, quote, graduated, and he will do creation. And it is not faulty creation that allows evil. That is a God of creation allowing man free will choices for this experience so that he can grow into the wisdom of that which brings balance. So always balance and harmony in love is the end goal. And you can see that these places of experience get in pretty bad shape as man makes his wrong decisions. But the evolution will always come when man will get so bad, so evil, that there's only one way to go. And because of that innate God light of which he is created, he will get his belly full and he will begin his journey back. God will inhale. Well, what about all those who don't? Well, in this processing, you manufacture ones that are basically soulless beings. You create an evil. And I use the term create to mean manufacture. You utilize what is deteriorated, debased, and you recreate from it. And it's an incestuous relationship, and it becomes genetically and diabolically incorrect. And the results of what you manifest as man must periodically be cleansed. And man himself will do his own sorting. And is that right or wrong? It's only right. It can only be right. And when you witness, and you can witness in compassion and in love, then any experience will have been worthy of itself. And each of you will try to cling to the tiny fragment, because each of you will say, we've got to fix it. John Schreffer will say, let's take it to the council and let's do something. And I'm all for it, and I say, go ahead, I tried. And the wise old counselors will say, go give her another go. There's another alternative in man's evolution, because what you're trying to do, John Schreffer, is do it for them. And that's a no-no. And bless his heart, he'll go get some more wheat. If we can't train them, then we'll have to feed them. and I'm grateful. And I hear you. I hear you clutching. I hear you crying out, please. Show me how and I will do it. And I'm trying. And you will. I am telling you how and you are hearing me and you will do it. Because we're going to walk this one together. And it doesn't matter whether you're here or in Corpus Christi, Texas, or Oregon, Washington, Idaho. We're together. We're as close. This is something else about the bird tribes. You are not rooted anywhere on this planet. And that means that you haven't yet located your home on this planet even. You can leave any place because you've recognized that that is not going to be an allowed thing for you to become so attached to a given thing or place. And that's when the wisdom of the saying, give your children roots, but give them wings and teach them to fly and then let them go. They don't belong really to you. And if they come back, that's very worthy. That's a great honor because you have done well. And if they don't come back, then they weren't yours anyway. And they had their way to go. And you must release it. And you have been given the privilege of utilizing this place again. Some of you will go to the Philippines. And that will be home. And some of you will know the minute you set foot on the island, this was home. The same will happen to you when you go to Greece. When you stand in Crete. I'm home. I don't need to walk up to that Acropolis. I've been up there so many times and I didn't like it then. Why should I trudge up there and make my feet hurt? I remember it. And you will be homesick for something you can't even put your fingers on. You want to come home. You want to come home. Well, I have a crew that would like to go home. And I can love you, and I can be patient with you because you're my ground crew. In many ways, your experience is easier than theirs, but the journey itself is harder than theirs. But they must watch, and they experience in longer periods of time, so that it seems infinity that you ones don't learn. And there's a rotation, and some come back and they say, they're still there. And then we have our little meetings and we go through very much this same thing. And that's what you're lonely for. You get lonely just to hold a friend. I found myself chuckling at Dorma. One day she was sitting alone in the bedroom and Oberle came in and she says, I don't understand it. I don't even know Bo Greitz, but I'm lonely just to hold him. You ones don't know your brothers. And you've each shared so many experiences. And when you see ones being put upon, especially your brothers, you can't understand it, you can't do anything about it, but something inside you is lonely. And I wouldn't have you any other way, because this is the God part of you that is alive, that can reach across a city, reach across a nation, reach across an ocean and you don't understand race riots because in your hearts you don't have any race. You're just the bird tribes. And you're eager to get on with that which was pure and wonderful. And man seems very slow in his evolvement. But remember that to your guides you seem very slow in yours. And if you can hold to that knowledge, that truth, then it'll make your journey a little easier. Where are we on that tape? I think we should close.
We're very near the end of the third tape. About 5 minutes.
Oh, you can do it?
Roll that one out. We got this tall chair so I could be the biggest one in the room.
Tall chair is a big help.
Thank you. We'll get that sound system working too. You are cherished. I shouldn't tell you. The room is filled. I wish that you could put on those glasses that see through and beyond. Your brothers all come for the lessons, come for the sharing. Appreciate your guides, love them, and listen to them. Please listen to them. Because this is a delightful journey. This is where we make our brownie points and earn our wings. Salut.
Thank you very much.